Hello and greetings from Granada, Spain. So if you heard the last podcast, I was talking a bit about just like how much the trip has been changing and some of the kind of wild, disastrous things that happened. But now being here, I'm about 3 weeks into the trip, it's just been so magical coming here in Granada. So many people told us to come visit, and we're spending a week here. And first off, the Airbnb we're staying in, it's like a dream being here. You're walking through these like really tight, like whitewashed streets, all like stone, like hand stone streets, and then you kind of pop into these like courtyards and you see people like drinking, and people have guitars and they're playing music and they're eating delicious little tapas and different things. It's just like, it's very romantic, very magical, very special place, and the history of this place is insane. I learned a bit about yesterday, but I wanted to try something different today. So as you guys know, I love music and I love food, and I love just living an inspired, excited life. And I wanted to see if I could paint the picture of food in a really sort of auditory way. So I feel like there aren't many food podcasts out there. There are a couple, and people talk about different foods and stuff, but I wanted to take you on a bit of a food journey through your mind. And it's an opportunity for you to kind of close your eyes and imagine you're here with me, because the thing about food is, eating is very emotional. And when we sit down to eat a meal, there's so much more going on than just the thing that we're eating. You know, we're eating food, sometimes we're being taken back to certain places we've been, or like when we were younger as a child, and certain flavors trigger different memories and experiences and emotions and stuff. So I want to see if I can kind of bring you a little bit on my journey. And yesterday, we had the fortune to go on this little private tour, tapas tour. I was doing some filming, and I'm going to be putting out an episode all about Spanish food soon on Brothers Green. But we went on this tour with this really amazing guide, Adrian, and he was actually from France, but he's been living here for many years, and he kind of just came to Granada 6 years ago just to, you know, just to kind of visit, and he ended up falling in love with it and never going back. He's like, this is amazing. So I'm going to kind of take you through my tour and just give you a little bit of a sense of what it's like to be here, because I'm not trying to create content that makes you feel left out. I want to create content that makes you feel like you are a part of whatever the moment is. Because we can journey and we can travel in our minds. So maybe you can't physically come to Spain, or maybe one day you do want to come, but you can't come now. And this isn't about you feeling like, oh, I can't go. It's like you getting to be here with me. So I want to try that and see how it goes. And I also want to try doing some kind of talk through recipes over the next couple podcasts. I have certain formats in mind, but I like trying new things, and I can only promise you that you'll learn something new whenever you listen, and that you'll be inspired to maybe try something different or think about life in a different way that's going to make your life a bit better. So last night, my wife and I, we walked down, we're in Albacen, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Albacen. In Granada, it's kind of up on the top of the hill with some beautiful views of the Alhambra, which is like the most magical fortress. It's gigantic, and you can look it up online, the Alhambra. I think it's the number one tourist destination in all of Spain. It's like this gigantic Moorish fortress that was built, palace that was built many, 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 many years ago. We were walking down the street, and we meet Adrian, and we introduce ourselves, and he takes us to this first little spot. And just to give you a little bit of a background, in Spain, tapas are just little bites. There's different ideas about what the history is. There's a story about the king. And imagine this, you know, it's like the year 500 or whatever, 500 AD. And, there's this king visiting Andalusia, which is like a southern tip piece of Spain, where we are right now. And he wanted a glass of wine, and it was very windy and dusty at the time. And this is one story, there's different stories, but so the bartender, he went to get the king some wine, and he decided to put like a piece of either cheese or some sort of cured meat on top of it to kind of block anything from coming in. And so the king got his wine, he had this little bite of cheese, and here he is like eating this cheese and drinking this wine, and like, wow. And so it became a thing. Anytime he drank wine, he wanted to have a little bite of something. So tapas, they actually, I believe the word means like top, the top of something, like to top something with. But what kind of we know as tapas now in present day, people go out to bars and they get a drink of food and they get little bites of stuff. So lunch in Spain is a very big meal. Lunch is when you're going to have your big, like, sit down, you know, grains and rice and just like a full, like, plate of something. Whereas at night, people like to kind of go from bar to bar and just get little bites of stuff. They'll get a glass of wine or a beer and they'll have just like, you know, some jamón or, you know, and some olives or some fried fish or whatever they're feeling. So we go to this first place and we're going on a tapas tour, and we get they give us a beer, and they have these giant legs of jamón hanging from the wall. And if you don't know what jamón is, it's kind of like prosciutto. It's a cured, salted, like leg of a pig. And there's different grades, there's different levels. You know, some are super expensive where it can get very, very, very pricey. But basically, it's an art form where they take this big leg and they kind of shave pieces off. They serve you these very thin, almost like square-shaped pieces of jamón. And there's also chorizo, and there's the different cured meats, but the jamón is like the prized. And there's like the jamón ibérico, which is like one of the number one prized jamons in Spain. And there's different grades to that. You know, there's like the 100% ibérico, and they even have ones that are only fed acorn diets, and that's like a whole special thing. So there's different levels of that. There's different grades, and of course different price ranges. So we go to this one place, and right away they give us the beer, and he comes out with this plate filled with olives and like pickles, and it's like this mixture of olives. And olives in Spain are so delicious. They grow everywhere. I mean, we're walking around Granada and there's olive trees everywhere, and you can pick fresh olives. Now, when you bite into a fresh olive, it is awful. Like, awful, awful, awful. It's so bitter, so rough. But when they press the olive, you know, you get olive oil. It's the juice of the olive. They press it, they cold press it in a special way where you get the juice. And actually, Spain produces 50% about of all of the world's olive oil. So just think about that. So when you're driving around here, you see olives is everywhere. It's the olive fields are absolutely beautiful and amazing. But do not eat them raw. And then of course, you know, the olives that are brined, so they make like kind of like a salt brine. It's almost like doing a pickle in a way, where they mash the olive up a little bit. They might de-seed it, or they might just keep the seed in. I prefer the pit, you know, this pit, you call it pit seed, whatever, but I prefer the pit. I think eating it that way, there's something about it. It just gives it, to me, more flavor. It's a better experience eating it. Just makes it a little bit more meatier. But so the olives are absolutely, absolutely beautiful, and they're everywhere. So we get this plate of olives, and what was cool about the tour is, even though most of the food was, you know, meat heavy and bread and all these things, they made sure to have stuff for my wife, who is vegan and gluten free. So that was just an added bonus. So they brought us the olives and the different mixed cured things. So she was able to eat that. And then they came out with this beautiful plate of jamón. And I was eating this jamón. It was just like, so what's amazing about jamón is there's different types, and depending on what kind you get, like the jamón ibérico, is kind of like melts in your mouth, and it's the flavor of it. So if you've had prosciutto before, you know it's like, it's a little bit chewy, salty, a lot of umami, but jamón has this other level of like, it's almost like funkiness, like a little bit of a gaminess to it. So it can be pretty strong, almost like a cheese, you know, and cheese can be a little bit funky, and certain people really like that funkiness. So this is actually a really cool blend. It was a little bit chewy, in a good way, because some jamón just like melts in your mouth. This had a little bit of like a bite to it, but it was like tender and delicious. So we're eating that, and we're drinking, and we're talking, and he's talking to us about the history of Spain. And what's amazing about Spain is like the history to, you know, the Moors. First, the Jews lived here for a long time, and then the Moors came in and they kind of took over and they built all these palaces. So they're like these, like the, you know, like the Alhambra and different places, there's these like giant Muslim palaces. And then when the Spanish kind of came to take it back over, and I don't know all the exact history, but basically, you know, they're building these palaces up, and Spain's like slowly starting to kind of take, the Christians are taking Spain back. they actually, one of the reasons that Hamon is so big, and this is kind of wild, but because they knew the Muslims didn't eat pork, it was actually a test. It was a test to see if people were converted or not, because back in the day, they were so strict, you know, like you needed to convert to the religion, and anyone else they would chase out and push out. It's like you need to be, you know, Christian, and like you need to be of this religion. So if you weren't willing to eat pork, they knew that you, you know, you were secretly hiding your religion. It was this big thing. So pork, they started putting pork in everything. So when you go to Spain, it's like that's why there's so much jamón everywhere. So after our first place, we go to another bar, and this bar is a little more hip. It's a really cool spot, and they're kind of a little more like updated. A lot of the bars in Spain are very traditional, and they kind of keep with the traditions. But this bar was just a little like a little more hip and like kind of younger crowd. It was super cool, and we walked in, and right when we sat down, and what's cool about the tour is like they have it all set up. Like you walk into the bar, and there's already a table, like kind of reserved, a little area reserved for you, and you sit down, and they already have the food ready to go, because we're going to five places throughout the night. I'm not necessarily going to go over all the places, but I want to give you a bit of a, you know, a bit of a picture into how we're eating. So we sit down, and they bring us these little bowls, and in the bowls there's this very sort of thick red looking like soup, and it's almost like it looks like a puree, like a red puree, creamy red puree, and on top there's a little bit of jamón, of course, again jamón, there's little tiny croutons, and then there's little like seeds, like pumpkin seeds, like green pumpkin seeds, and this is actually called salmorejo, and I think I'm pronouncing it a little bit wrong, salmorejo, but basically it's kind of like gazpacho. But instead of like keeping it sort of chunky and rustic, what they do is they take, this is all raw. There's different ways, but this is actually a dish from Cordoba. And they take tomatoes, fresh, really good fresh tomatoes. And that's a big thing in Spain, is like all the products are just really good. And the food is so simple. And I find this amazing because I was thinking about it. But the food is so good, but you don't really hear about Spanish food around the world. People know paella, people of course know tapas, but there isn't, and jamón maybe, but there isn't that much like widespread understanding of Spanish food, I think, because we live in such a viral food world, and there aren't many dishes that are necessarily things you're gonna see on these like viral, trendy, like, wow, you wouldn't believe this. So I feel like Spanish food isn't, even though it's respected like from chefs and people that like that are really into food, I think general population people don't know much about Spanish food. And the reality is because the food is so simple. When you're here, like there are markets everywhere. Imagine walking around a place where like every street you turn down, there's like one, if not two or three markets. And it might be small little markets that are just like, you know, you walk into this little shop and there's just someone working and you kind of pull a ticket. And there's like, you know, tomatoes and zucchini and there's different types of mushrooms and whatever is fresh and fruits like you wouldn't imagine. And they kind of go through and they pick out what you need. Other markets, you go and you grab what you want and you weigh it and you print out your own sticker. Convenience stores, some have a lot of like really fresh produce as well as like, of course, canned things and stuff. But there are markets everywhere. There are spice markets. There are like dried food markets. There are places to get tea. And it's just like, it's such a food culture, because the thing about Spain is that people aren't necessarily, like, if you open a fridge in Spain, you're not necessarily going to see, like, you know, a fridge stocked with all kinds of stuff. I feel like in America, like, there's this need to just, like, constantly have, like, your fridge stocked up. But here, it's like people will shop almost every day. Not everyone, but a lot of people go shopping, like, every day because the food is so fresh. So we probably go to the market at least once, if not two or three times a day. And we love exploring markets, so we're just going around and finding stuff. And you buy a couple things. You're like, okay, I feel like I want an apple and zucchini and a cauliflower and mushrooms tonight. And, you know, you cook that and you mix it with whatever you had yesterday or whatever it is. So food is so fresh and so good that when you're going around getting tapas, like, they're not these crazy, wild, inventive things. Just the ingredients are so good, you're just like obsessed. So we get there and we get the salmorejo. And what they do is they take tomatoes, garlic, olive oil, and like day-old bread usually. And they blend that up and they make this just like really creamy, because of the bread, like this delicious sort of like a cold soup. And what he told us is that this restaurant, because there's so many laws in restaurants with, you know, heat and cooking and stuff, that everything is technically raw. So all the food they serve is technically raw food, and then they pre-prepare stuff, and they have the jamon and everything. So you're eating it, you don't feel like you're eating it like a raw restaurant, but like the way that they don't have to actually cook and heat stuff up. And then like, and then, so as we're eating this dish, and you know, the tomato is really flavorful, heavy garlic and olive oil, and it's like creamy and so just like umami in your mouth, and you're biting into the ham, which is chewy, and you're getting the crunch of the croutons and the seeds, and you're just like, ah, you're eating this and everything's, and it's so small, so you're just like, you know, you're taking a sip of some wine. Actually, we didn't have wine. We had a drink, and I'm not a big drinker, but we had a drink at every place, and I made sure to at least drink some of it. Some places I finished. It was probably the most I've drank in a long time, but I didn't wake up hungover. I got a little bit buzzed, not drunk, because usually I can have like maybe one drink at max a night, and that, even that's like pushing it for me. I'm a very slow, simple drinker. But we had this just like really nice sort of like anise flavored drink. Vermouth. So it was, I think it was called vermouth. It's like white wine with lots of spices, and there was like star anise in there and cinnamon and like some orange, and it was really delicious. It did not taste like alcohol. Maybe that's why I drank most of it. So anyhow, we're eating this, and then they come out, and he has this piece of toast on this platter, and next to it there's some potato chips and like a little potato chip sleeve. There's like some little pate of like olives, like a tapenade, and he has this toast with some like fresh ground up tomatoes on the bottom, and then just some sardines on top, like just nice fresh sardines. And all he does is take like a little flame torch and just shh, and hits the top and just shh, and like just crisp it up. So they're not technically heating it, but it allows it to kind of get a little bit warmer and like get that charred flavor on top. By using a little flame torch, which is the thing I love to do when I'm cooking. And then we cut that up and we ate that, and it's just like chewy bread, and there's so much bread in Spain, the bread's so good. Chewy bread with the tomato, and you put some of that really salty, briny olive tapenade on top. And then you get this fish, which is just like really fresh, really clean and delicious. And that meal was fantastic. So we finished that meal and then we walked to the next place. And the next spot was all seafood. And so we go there, and this place is really popping. So a big thing in Spain is people don't really start going out to dinner till like 8 or 9 o'clock. So this is 10 o'clock, and there's like families, in some cases with like little kids, like out eating dinner. And they're just getting, people just bringing out plate after plate. It's like big plates, very simple, of just like fried something. All seafood. So either just like some, there was some, of course, like fresh shrimp, like full head on everything shrimp. And then just like fried bits of different types of seafood. So the waitress comes out and she brings us this big plate of just fried cod. And what our guide told us, he's like, you know, earlier we had walked by the seafood place. And when I walked by, I really smelled it. It was like, whoosh, it kind of, the smell hit me in the nose. And they were serving actually calamari sandwiches, which calamari bocadillo is basically bread with just fried calamari. And it sounds ridiculous, but that's a big thing in Spain. He's like, but you smell that smell? He's like, wait until we go to another place. I'm going to show you the difference. So he's like, at this place we're at right now, they fry everything in olive oil. And they do it so well that if you look at this fish, it's not greasy. There's no smell. It's not this lingering smell because they do it right. What he also told me, he said, is they use chickpea flour to fry, and that's kind of their secret. It's a big thing in Spain. Chickpea flour, instead of regular or a blend of the two, makes it really light and crispy and delicious. And what I found fascinating about all the fish I've eaten in Spain is whenever it's fried, usually, like, you know, I'm used to, if something's fried, there's going to be like tartar sauce or, you know, lemon or something. No, this is just fried fish, and you eat it. And my first instinct is like to want to get some lemon, but you don't realize you don't need it. The cod was really fresh. It was really delicious. It was crispy. It was light. It was airy. The golden brown batter that was just like over every piece, when the skin was on, you could see it. You have everything you need in a bite. You take a bite of it, you know, and you take a little sip of wine or your beer. And then they brought out this big plate of shishito, fried shishito peppers, so Jackie could eat something. And when Jackie at the other restaurant, she also had this beautiful like beet hummus that they brought out for her, and also they made the zucchini salad with like fresh, like a marmalade on it, and like macadamia nuts and like a fresh like lime, I don't know, lemon, like sort of vinaigrette. So just a big plate of just fried shishito peppers. Shishito peppers are great. They're green, they're beautiful, they blister, and you eat the skin, you eat the whole thing, except for the stem, but basically pick it up from the stem and just bite the whole thing, you chew it. And shishitos are interesting because they're kind of like playing roulette in your mouth, because they're not spicy at all, but like one in like seven or one in 10 are very spicy. So it's just this random thing where all of a sudden you're eating, you're like, okay, good, good. Then you bite one, and you're like, whoo. But they're such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful peppers. So we leave that place and we're walking through the streets and just like starting to get towards Almacen, because we were in Maine, like the kind of the more like Maine, like central, you know, town. But Almacen is like just so beautiful. And we get to this place and it's like a very old bar, and we go down, and this is like kind of your legit, like very simple serving, and basically just bread with this giant slices of manchego cheese. And I had never had manchego cheese like this. Manchego cheese is like the big thing in Spain. I had never had manchego cheese like this. And they brought out this chorizo. We just had bread and chorizo and the manchego cheese. Pretty much that was it. It was very simple. It was really good. Just kind of eating that. And after that, we ended up getting this beautiful dessert from this sort of like Moroccan influenced place. And I can't even really explain the desserts, but they were just delicious. And there was pistachio and like with three little desserts that we got to eat. But just getting to, it was cool for me because, to be honest, my wife and I don't go out very late anymore. I don't want to say we're getting older, but like we're not people that go out and party late. And apparently in Spain, like people don't start, like if you want to go to a club, it's like 2-3 in the morning, you know, and they're open till like 7. So people don't go out till super late. So for us, like it's been a bit of an adjustment, but usually, you know, we go out all day and we come back, we make a dinner, and then we're in bed by like 9 or 10. But last night the tour started at 7:30, and it was a 3-hour tour, but we ended up getting done at 12. And it was just like, I started to understand the Spanish lifestyle. You know, you go out later, and instead of having one big heavy meal, you end up being full at the end of the night. We ate a lot of food, but because you're walking place to place, like we're walking, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, in between a lot of the places, you know, you have a drink or half a drink, and then you eat some nice food, and then you walk somewhere else, and by that time, like you're excited, it's a new atmosphere, you get a different kind of drink, you know, whatever you want, and then you get a different bite of food, and it just kind of changes things up and keeps things flowing. And it's a really fun, exciting way to eat because it adds this like fun, just different, changing nature to it. I'm not saying it's like practical for everyone, but I did want to take you on the journey and see if you could imagine what it would be like to kind of be walking through this Spanish landscape with me. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And as you'll know, I've been using Anchor to make podcasts since the beginning of my podcast. And of course, if you want to make your own podcast, I suggest you try it out. You know, at this point, they make it so easy that, you know, you kind of, all I'll say is that like, there's no excuses anymore. But you'll notice I'm starting to put little like ads in the videos, or not, I always say video. I've been creating videos for so long. But they're putting little ads in little sponsorships in the podcast. And they're just like little 30-second spots, so that way I can support this podcast more. So I really appreciate you guys listening, and it's been freaking incredible. You are awesome. Thank you guys so much. If you have not, you can subscribe and follow my podcast, you know, on Apple, and you can do it on Spotify and really anywhere podcasts are listened to. And I look forward to talking to you all very soon, and be well.